to me this, we're in a time frame of transition. Amen. Where God is about something suddenly and cause a new season to occur. Cause a new season to occur in the house of God. Amen. I don't believe God has wasted any time of reflection, any time of things that we've been going through, change in people's lives. I don't believe God's wasted any of that. He's going to be sorting people out to bring a instance of seek ye first the kingdom of God. Re-evaluating where we're re-evaluating life, re-evaluating really what we value most. Amen. And God wants us to be foremost after Him, seekers of Him, seekers of after the heart of God. I found ourselves sometimes in a vulnerable place. I know that if you know my background, this would have been probably the best season of my life when I was young, when I was isolated all by myself. Me, myself, and I would have had a... I thought I was in heaven. But I really found it hard. I just like people. No, that's a miracle. I mean, God's done a miracle. I'm a living miracle. I've been formed. Amen. I like to see your faces. All right? Doesn't mean you can come to my house anytime you want. Just ring up first. All right? So in the midst of the mess, God's preparing a people, I believe, with a message. And there's the world's a mess. It's a mess. It still hasn't got control. Nothing's in control. But God is bringing a message in His people through the mess. Amen. Revealing the people back to Himself. I really believe we're in a season where God is going to restore the wandering sons and daughters back into the house of the Lord. Something has been provoked in me. Something's been stirred in my spirit. Something's been stirred in my heart. God is about to pour out His Spirit on all flesh and call back the wandering sons and the wandering daughters. Hallelujah. Causing the hearts of them wandering sons and daughters to be stirred. Causing the hearts of the lukewarm to get on fire for the things of God. God, and it's going to be a move of God. It's going to be a God thing. It's going to be something that God is orchestrated and provoked. He's going to allow them, and He's allowed them to taste. Even they have to reevaluate what they value, and all of a sudden their values and things is going to be diminished because they realize the world is not where they should be. Glory to God. There was two men. I'm going to put this down. Two men on the Emmaus Road. You can flick up something. I think I've got something up there, haven't I, son? There was two men walking on the Emmaus Road in Luke 24. They were walking, it says, and I think it's in verse 32. They were walking away from Jerusalem. Is that right? They were going to a city called Emmaus. They were walking away from Jerusalem. Yet God had commanded them to what? Stay in Jerusalem. But they had walked away from Jerusalem because, you see, they had lost hope. They had lost a place of hope. They thought Jesus was going to do something bigger than what He did. They just seen Him go to a cross, and these disciples, the Bible calls them, so they new believers. They weren't people that had an opinion of Jesus. They were the disciples of Jesus. They were walking away from the call of God. Jesus had to meet them on an Emmaus road. Jesus sought them. They were caught between two opinions. They were caught on what God required of them and what they thought best for them. And all of a sudden, God came in the scene and challenged them. He challenged their opinions. He challenged their thought life. He challenged what they were thinking and saying. He challenged them. And all of a sudden, something happened within them. He revealed Himself for who He was. I believe the sons and daughters, God's going to reveal Himself for who He is. They're going to again experience the power of the cross. He broke bread with them, and immediately it says their eyes were what? Opened, and they realized who He was, and they said, did not my heart burn within me? And it said they immediately turned around and went back where? To their call. I believe God is going to stir the people, those wandering sons and daughters, and He's going to reveal Himself like only He can. He's going to reveal the cross. He's going to reveal the cost, and He's going to reveal the cause. Hallelujah. He's going to reveal it all to them, and it'll cause them to turn around. He will do it. He spoke a word, And that word set the captive. Hallelujah. God met them in their wandering. He met them in their desert place. Here they should have been. And he caused them to turn around. They got a revelation. They got a revelation because Jesus spoke a word. Amen. Jesus has a word that can set the captive free. Who believes that? Did not our hearts burn within us, they said? Something got refired, something got reinvigorated, something got reignited in their spirit, man, and all of a sudden they couldn't help them turn around. God will cause a turnaround, I believe, in the wandering sons and daughters, because He desires to meet them where they're at. He will meet them where they're at. We want to meet, the Christendom and Christian want them to meet us on our terms. Jesus met them where they were at. Hallelujah. And sometimes He's got to get them alone. They were alone. Sometimes He has to get them alone to minister. And what happens in most Christian families, including myself, what we like to do is rescue them. We want to help them. We want to minister. We want to be Holy Ghost Junior. We want to minister them. We want to lay hands and cast the devil out of them. We want to rebuke them. We want to chastise them. We want to let them see the light. We want to make sure, wake up. We want to wake them up. Yet God has to get them alone. He got Jacob alone to change him into an Israel. He people alone sometimes. Please, please, sometimes in your rescuing, you're actually hindering the work of God. Hear God. Let God be God in their life. Try to be God in their life. Amen. Let God be God in their life. You still be the salt and the light to the earth. Change not. Amen. Stay the same. In season, out of season, whether they're up, whether they're down, they're in, whether they're out, be the same. Be a constant in their life. Amen. I believe this is a Lazarus generation. The wandering sons and daughters are a Lazarus generation. Lazarus, he died. He died. You know, sometimes in our wandering sons and daughters, something dies within them. The joy, the passion, the love. Whatever it is, something dies within them. Something dies within a Lazarus generation. And all of a sudden, God turns up. God turns up. See, a Lazarus generation, whatever, and Jesus never spoke about the reason why. He never told the disciples why He died or how He died. In fact, Jesus wasn't interested in how He died. Because death was not an impossibility for God. He didn't care about all the specifics. It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. And you see, what happened was there was the wailers and the whiners and the whingers outside making a great noise. And hear me, that's exactly what happens when someone is in a place of backsliding and someone's got a wandering heart. They hear the wailers and the whiners, and all of a sudden their question is, oh, I can't follow God because of this. Oh, God's, why hasn't God done that? And they become whingers, and they become whiners about the things of God. And what did God do? God shut their mouth. Amen? God bypassed the whingers and whiners, and all of a sudden the whingers and the whiners scoffed God. But God spoke a word. If you believe, He said. And all of a sudden faith arose. Jesus spoke a word. The word went into the tomb. The word unravelled his heart. Got him born. Got him birthed him afresh. Got him born again. Unravelled the man's heart. He came out leaping out of the tomb, set free, delivered. Amen. The Christ has a word for those who are dead. I'm going to say that again. I'm really rushing. The Christ has a word for those who are dead. Stop listening to the whingers. Stop listening to the whiners. Don't give them. God will remove every excuse. He will shut their mouths. He will shut their mouths. And He will send a word. That word is through Christ. Hello, body of Christ. He has given you a word to speak. He has given you a word of deliverance. He's given you a word of power. He's given you a word of reconciliation. He's given you a word of life. He has given it to me. And when you speak, as my brother was saying this morning, life. Life produces life. Life produces life. The dilemma is sometimes in their moaning and groaning, we end up agreeing with them. It's so easy to fall into. I understand. Yes, yes. It's all right. It's all right. We understand that. I sympathize with their hurt. I sympathize with their pain. But I refuse to sympathize with the deceit that's happening in their life. You and I have an answer locked up in us. A word of restoration. A word of reconciliation. A word of deliverance, a word of acceptance, a word of love. Amen. And we refuse the moaners and the whiners to stop the word coming forth. The word that Christ was calling out, the message of faith, the word of reconciliation, the word of restoration, the word of Christ coming forth from the body of the Christ in you. He has placed a word in your mouth and my mouth. Isaiah 43:19 says, behold, I do a what? Who wants a new thing? Who wants the new thing? Behold, I do a new thing. Now it shall what? Forth. Who wants it to come to fruition? You know, I think church has heard it enough. Oh, God wants to do a new thing. I want to see the new thing. I want to experience the new thing. I want the power of God ministering the new thing. Behold, I do a new thing. I need the new thing. I really believe we're in a season of a new thing. But it's going to come out of your mouth. It's going to come out of your mouth. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 31:22 says this, how long will you gad and wonder, that means gad means wonder, about a backsliding daughter, for the Lord has created a new thing in the earth, a woman shall encompass a man, the woman Christ, the woman, the bride, shall encompass the man Christ. Amen. And they shall walk together as one. He's going to do a new thing. It's a new thing in the body. He's going to do a new thing out the body because he's going to pour out his spirit upon what? How much flesh? All flesh. Everyone should experience this. All flesh. They're going to experience an outpouring like never before. And I believe we're coming into that season time. That new season of it. Amen. Psalm 92:10 says this. With my horn or my strength, you shall exalt like a wild ox. I have been anointed with what? Fresh oil. Fresh oil means a fresh season. You only get fresh oil at a fresh season. You've been anointed with fresh oil. I need this fresh oil. Amen. I live on and walk in what yesterday gave me. I want the new oil today. I need a fresh anointing today. In the book of Acts, they received anointing fresh, regularly upon their lives. You can ask for the fresh wine. You can ask for a fresh to begin in your life. You don't have to live on yesterday's memories. He wants to do something new in your life today. 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 Today is the day. Amen. There's a fresh oil that God wants to pour out. If you allow to pour it out in your life, it'll have a new beginning, but it will come through your own mouth. His mercies are new every morning. I thank you, Jesus, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. Thank you, my God, that yesterday's old things have passed away. Behold, Father, I'm going to walk in everything new today. God, my past is gone. I can't change that, but I have a hope and a future in you, for your thoughts are toward me. Glory to God. Come on. You're the prophet of your tomorrow. You're the prophet of your new season. What am I speaking? What am I decreeing? What am I believing God for? Am I going to see these wandering sons and daughters come into the house of God? And we will. I'm telling you, we will. We will see them come in. We will see them healed. We will see them delivered. And we'll see them restored. And God will use them mightily. Because out of the mess, He will use them as a message. Out of their mess, God will create a mess to touch the world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I believe God is causing a stirring in the sons and daughters over a period of time. This season, He needs a source to get up And the prophets shared this morning, it's time to stand up. It's time to stand up. Prepare to stand up and build something for him. Four scriptures. Abraham stood up before the dead. Genesis 23 and 3. Moses stood up against the unrighteousness. Exodus 2 verse 17. In those days, Peter stood up for the truth. Acts chapter 1 verse 15. Acts 13 and 16. Paul stood up against the crowd. It's time to stand up. It's time to stand up for truth. It's time to stand up for righteousness. It's time for the world to see that Jesus is alive and well in the house of the Lord, and we servants are full of the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. It's time to see a reaping of the harvest. It's time to be the sickle in his hand. It's time to allow him to sharpen the edge. It's time to allow him to pour in the new oil and the new wine. Have a new season in your life. Glory to God. What time is it? 5 to 12. Do you want a bit, little bit more? Yeah. Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2, 12 to 17. You provoke me. Joel chapter 2. Can't find him. Love, there he is. 12 to 17. There has to come, I believe, out of the church a time when we start to say, Lord, I count the cost. God, change me. God, use me. Amen. I believe we're living in a time where God is calling a people to himself that will hunger for the things of God and not allow the things of the world or the things that they've even done or the failings in their own life to stop them coming before the presence of God, but to say, Lord, sorry about that. I forgive me, please, and with all integrity and truth of heart, and allow the thing to be sent from you as far as the east is to the west, and move on. Come on now, move on. Don't camp around the old. Move on. Hallelujah. Verse 12, now therefore says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fastings and weepings and mournings. Rend your heart. The word rend means to tear, means to allow it to be broken, means for God to give him access to areas of my life that I haven't, and to let him to rip out those things. Heaven suffers, and the violent take it. Let him take it. Let it. Sometimes you've got to be violent with the things that are hidden in your heart. You've got to fight. You've got to say, God, take this thing from me. Rend my heart. God, change my heart. Change me. Change me. Change me. Rend your heart. For the Lord, return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful. What is he? He's gracious and merciful. The devil will say he's hard. The devil will say he's unjust. The devil will say, that's not fair. Why would he require that of you? He's gracious, merciful. Glory to God. You see, if you've only got a knowledge of him, you can be turned. But if you know him, you won't be turned. Because you know him. You know that you know that you know. He is slow to anger and great in kindness. He relents from doing harm. He knows if he will turn and who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him. What does he want to do? He wants to leave you a blessing. A grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, pull the elders, gather the children and the nursing babes, let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bridegroom from her dressing room, let the priests who minister before the Lord, we could speak in hours on this, weep before the porch and the altar. In other words, there's repentance, there's a coming between the bridegroom and the bride, there's a union happening, there's no more separation. We walk as what? We walk as one together with him. Let them say, spare the people, O Lord, and do not give your heritage to reproach, that the nations should rule over them. Why should they say to the peoples, where is God? I'm going to run down to, I can't keep going with that. I'm going to run down to chapter 30, verse 32. Turn with me to 32. Verse 28. Actually, verse 26. Oh, let's go back to 12. No, we won't. Verse 26. You shall eat plenty and be satisfied. I'm going to read. Be glad then, you children of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain and the latter rain faithfully. Verse 23 speaks of a new thing. Former and latter rain had never happened before. I'm going to do a new thing. Amen. It's up there for you guys. I don't know why I'm speaking about. Verse 24, a fresh thing. Fresh wine, fresh oil means fresh anointing. Fresh season. New beginnings. Who wants new beginnings? Who wants freshness of the Holy Ghost in their life? Hallelujah. Verse 25, a restoration. The years of barrenness to fruitfulness. This is what he's going to cause. I believe we're coming in that season. A freedom. Old things passed away. No shame of the former. Verse 27, witness. My people will never be put to shame. Your God will never shame you. Your God will never put you to shame. Your God is for you. He is not against you. He will chastise those whom he loves. But that's what a good father does. Verse 32. 28 to 32. Where am I? 28. And it shall come to pass afterwards, I will pour out what? On all your sons and daughters. Your sons and your daughters. Your wayward sons. Your wayward daughters. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh in that day, that new season. God is orchestrating something in the spirit. God is circumventing things in the spirit. And he's going to cause an outpouring of the spirit like we've never seen before. And it's going to touch the wayward. It's going to touch the broken. It's going to touch the bruised. It's going to touch the lame. He's going to pour out his spirit, flesh, and they will not be able to deny the power and the authority of the kingdom of God in that hour. He will touch, he will challenge their value system, and suddenly that which was once alive in them will be quickened again. Glory to God. Lazarus, come forth. That should be the prophetic word in my house. Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. Hallelujah. And the day will come that they might look all bound up, but they'll come in leaping and praising God. How do I know their life will be a testimony? Because the next thing you hear about Lazarus, he was seated at the table with Jesus, and the world came to see him more than even Jesus. That's what the Bible says. A resurrected life started to be a testimony, and they came to see Lazarus. Hallelujah. They're going to have a testimony in this hour. They're going to have a testimony in their day. Once I was lost, but now I'm found. And when they get found, they'll really find it. It will no longer be a knowledge to them, but they'll know him. They'll know him. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your men shall dream dreams. I have lots. Your young men shall see visions. On your maidservants and on your men servants and maidservants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. That's talking about the saved. And I will show you wonders in the heavens and the earth, blood, fire, and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be darkness, the moon into blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord. It shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. From in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be a deliverance, and the Lord said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. And he's calling them. Your God and my God is calling them. And like Isaiah, you and I have a word locked up inside of us. I can't echo this enough. You and I have a word locked up inside of us. How do I know that? Because Christ lives in you. Christ in you. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is locked up inside of you. Matthew 10 and 20. Do not be afraid for what you shall speak, for it shall be the Spirit of your Father who shall speak to you. The Word is within you. You mightn't understand the Word that is in you, but if you allow it to come forth, it will be life to the broken, to the bruised, to the dying. Amen. But like Isaiah, sometimes I'm worthy. Sometimes sin stops me. Sometimes my past refrains me. But God sent an angel with a coal, a fire. And I believe we're going to be ignited again with that fire. Amen. Because that's what ignites the lamp. The coal of God ignites the flame. I just remember, Lord, keep me full of the fresh oil. I need oil in my vessel. I need oil in my vessel to be the light. I need oil in my vessel to give out. God, allow the fresh oil. Lord, birth season in me. Change me. Help me to be a life giver instead of a life destroyer. Let's stand this morning. Appreciate that, love. Hallelujah. I want to pray specifically, and I know I've taken a little bit of your time, but I really believe it's the word of the Lord. I want to pray specifically for our wandering sons and daughters. Amen. And they mightn't be connected to you physically, but if there's a connection, even if you've mothered them in spirit, even if you fathered them in spirit and they're not there, God is going to pour out in this season and cause fresh wine and fresh oil to flow. Lord, this is a new season, beginning. I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. What I've got to do is like Isaiah, Lord, cleanse my lips. Cleanse my lips. As I rent my heart before you this morning, cleanse my lips. Let the fire touch my lips. Let God out of my mouth will flow life. A word in season to bring my Lazarus forth in Jesus' name. With every head bowed. If that's you this morning, you lift up your hands before the Lord. Say, God, I need resurrection power to flow in my house. I need the fresh oil and the fresh wine in my house. Lord, I ask you to rend my heart. God, that we will see change. God, I'll be the agent of change like Isaiah was the agent of change. Touch my lips. Touch my lips. Touch my heart. This morning, Father, you see our hands raised. God, we have Lazaruses everywhere. We have wayward sons and daughters, Father, as you know. But your eye of your spirit is upon each one of them. And God, I ask, Lord, in the midst of their mess, you would meet them in the Emmaus Road. Lord, they might have left the call, but Father, and they're walking in the ways that they think they should, but Father, meet them in the midst. Meet them in their midst. In the name of Jesus, bring a visitation to them. That God, you can speak a word. You can speak a word that could cause a turnaround in their life. Fast in the name of Jesus. That God, as the body of Christ, we would speak the words of Christ. A word in season. A word in season, Father. Lord, you bring deliverance, healing, and restoration. And let the truth make them free. In Jesus' name. We call them from the north. We call them from the south. We call them from the east. We call them from the west. Father, every prodigal, every wandering son and daughter back into the house of the Lord and out of their mess, you're going to release a message. This world will be turned upside down for the glory of the kingdom. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. For you are a God who cannot lie. We thank you for that. We believe that. That you are the God of the impossible. And we're going to hear the good reports. Because we come into a new thing. We come into a new season. With the fresh oil. Fresh wine. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.